Welcome back to Finer Thoughts Creator, where we discuss everything life. We look at navigating life's ups and downs for entrepreneurs, authors, corporations, and individuals. We all have a story. What's yours?
So your book also emphasizes the power of self-love and acceptance. How can someone learn to love and accept themselves, even in the face of challenges or obstacles?
It's pretty simple, you know, and I would have found that truth is almost always simple, right? Wow. That is contingent, you know, self-love is, and I have to laugh because it's such a good question. Often people would emphasize on just taking time out for themselves, lavishing gifts on themselves, but the essence of self-love comes from understanding God's love for you,
right?
Because you must first understand His love for you to understand who you are, right? Sometimes, well, for a lot of us, that would have been thwarted by society's influence on us, right? Social media and perhaps our parental background, right? Our time as youth. But I'm here to say that, you know, I would have come from a family who really, really loved me. And yet still I question, you know, my love for myself. Well, it was while in search of truth, and the truth of, you know, who God is and why He made me and His love for me, that I realized that I'm, you know, wonderfully made, perfectly and wonderfully made.
Right? Yeah,
when you think about how your systems work together, you know, to achieve the best possible outcome, that is how the body is structured.
Right.
And, you know, just how cells work, then you realize that, you know, there's everything to love.
Wow. Right? I love that. The book also includes meditations and affirmations that readers can use to connect with their inner selves. How can someone incorporate these practices in their daily routine? Because you mentioned in your book, we're all equal, different poem, talking about self-love and acceptance, all these affirmations. How can they really incorporate these practices and outline the benefits they can expect to see?
You know, for one, I'm very big on words. With biblical reference, you know, it says, well, God spoke life into being, right? And as such, He would have given us the power to use words to speak life, right? So I try to be very conscious and intentional about what I say. Obviously, that would have been whether in thoughts and or, you know, verbally just speaking into the universe. So I decided that, you know, having heard from a lot of people who I look up to, you know, my role models, and see how much they speak positively, I realized my need to set up my day, to set up my mornings, especially in a way that will, you know, impact the rest of my day positively. So that came with having a routine, right? In the mornings, I am definitely big on getting those words in, those affirmations. Right. And that's where, you know, my book speaks about, you know, having affirmations that you want to recite daily. Right. Because it definitely would have impacted me. I remember being in a state of depression and feeling the need to reach out or to reach, you know, to a place deep inside me to really garner strength to get through
each day. Because of that void.
Yeah, because of that void, I remember going to work in the morning, not wanting to go, but telling myself, I am happy, I am blessed, I will become the best version of myself. God is within me, I am enough. I am sure that I was made to love. Irrespective of what I face today, irrespective of the adversity that comes my way, I will rise above and beyond, because greater is He that is in me and he that is in this world. I remember saying that months upon months.
Making that affirmation and making it believable. Awesome.
Yeah, because it's always truth above feelings, you know.
Yeah.
It's always truth above feelings. So that's where it comes from.
Right. Based on the fact that our feelings are fickle, they're ebbs and flows. So you have to find the truth about those feelings. Right. That's awesome. Now, I want to move on to this voice of death that you mentioned, and you've elaborated on losing your dad. This particular poem says, prepare your eulogy. As each day departs, a new one brings you closer. With each smile and endearing movement, life leads you to its closure. It's not in the wrinkles or the slouch, nor the fragile bones or the pouch. It's in the winding of time that promises each day. A portion of your breath leaves your mouth. That is often sooner than you want and slicker than your wits. It attacks you from behind and surprises you with its grip. It gives no thought to age. It has no respect for bliss. It ponders its hunger first, then sees the air from the lips. I ask myself, do I really get to live? Spending my whole life negotiating with death as if we're doing business. But there's truth that resides outside of being impulsive that exposes life's value. It empowers us to live with meaning. And I thought that was so special. That was so true. Negotiating with that. Do you feel like you're negotiating with it really as we live? And how is that really exposing life's value?
Something else I really admire about writing is that over time, you find that certain things or certain stance you would have had, it changes, right? Yeah. And I say that to say, at that particular time, you know, a lot of my poems would have been impulsive poems. So it's me in the moment feeling what I'm feeling and then putting pen to paper. And, you know, just now you reading that poem, it brought back so much memories, right? Yeah. I say that to say, when I said that I'm negotiating with death daily, I believe that if it is that you think that death is the end to this life or to your life, then you feel like it's a daily negotiation, right? Rather than, you know, knowing that it's a transition to a whole new life or, yeah, you know, just that which we were made for. I'm not of that stance. So I'm more accepting and not necessarily, you know, off the view that it's negotiating with death. Perhaps it's negotiating with our true essence, right? or life.
You also mentioned stop delaying love for the grave. Should I make concern for the sorrow that you feel now that I'm gone? What does it really mean? Should your tears remind me of the memories shared through storms? Or perhaps you're cleansing yourself from the guilt of my passing on? Should I be flattered by your hearty words and praising speech, or were they carefully prepared to send off the beloved deceased? Why do you now embrace my name with love and cheers? Does it help you cope knowing it took me for granted while I was here? But I'm not dead. This is merely a friendly scare to encourage you to value your loved ones dearly before they disappear. Well, I'm so intrigued by these poems. I want you to shed light on the importance of really valuing your loved ones because we know we're all in a transitioning process. Some goes before the others. Yeah. And then you mentioned losing your dad, the pain. What are moments like this? What are the key takeaways for people to really learn to value their loved ones?
You know what's funny? All right. So as I said, it took so much of me to write on death. I would have been so scared of death, you know, just the thought of another loved one dying, just the thought of me dying as well.
Yes.
For daddy, it took me more than a decade to get over the guilt of daddy's passing on. Reason being, I was so imprisoned by regret because I felt like I didn't love him enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, it was real. I felt like I didn't love daddy enough. You know, I didn't choose him enough. I didn't spend enough time with him, and that just caused so much, you know, guilt, so much regret for the time that I didn't use wisely. I remember, you know, being told that he had about 6 months to live, and I remember during that time I had to seemingly cram, you know, perhaps 11 years of love in those 6 months, and it was virtually impossible, right?
Right.
And you know what happened is that his love liberated me. I remember Maya, you know, Maya Angelou, she's someone I look up to so much. Yeah. I remember she speaking on an experience that she would have had with her mother, and she stated that love liberated her, her mother's love, you know, would have liberated her. And it was the same for daddy, you know, looking back at how unconditionally he would have loved me. I realized that I have no regret to, I don't have to carry the burden of regret anymore. And that's where my whole personality changed. So if you knew me then versus now, you know, two different people, I was a little bit reserved. I was so reserved, not a little. And now I'm this bubbly, outgoing person who just tries to share love with everyone that I come across. Right?
Because of a change in perspective.
Because of that. Yes. And you know, the juxtaposition would be my grandma's death about 2 years ago. You know, she knew how much I loved her and I knew how much she loved me. And it was funny how, you know, even in loss, I was so happy that she knew. And that liberated me too. So, you know, it I didn't really have to heal from anything per se, right? I did show her that I loved her. So that's where it really comes from.
Awesome. No, I want to do the flip side onto a more different topic in terms of awareness. Speaking on the voice of social awareness, specifically social media. No, you said foreign prey to a predator of our own, disciplined to the command of notifications, ping, quickly grasping our phones. These abstract inventions have remolded our beings, telling us what to post, when to post, and how much of our content we should expose. The realization of happiness as opposed to sorrow. It is characterized by a value system based on who you follow. Wow. Morals have decayed, been neglected and betrayed. No longer concerned about the wounded or dead, I suppose. But sad you didn't capture the entire video so you could pose. And it's funny how we smile and claim we are doing well, but oblivious to the fact that we are trapped inside a cell. Because receiving a message or replying to a tweet is seemingly more important than having food to eat. Wow. In a world where social media has really taken over our emotions and just, as you said, having us trapped inside a cell, how important is it to really disconnect and to really have value systems outside of what we see on these platforms?
It is extremely important. For one, I take regular hiatus, you know, from the media. I take breaks. That's where I rejuvenate. That's where I, you know, build back my energy. That's where I take time to be alone, right? Now, what social media does, if we are not careful, it imprisons us, plain and simple, because, you know, our dopamine levels, and people don't understand, you know, that, you know, whatever you invest in, whatever you invested your time in, becomes an idol per se. But for social media, imagine being in a place, a marketplace where values are created by a group. And these values are not real values, right? Imagine feeling more important than me because someone likes your picture more than mine, right? Oh. And then what happens is that once you are caught in that, you know, the tornado of emotions, feeling so high when someone, you know, like your picture, then you feel like you want to stay on this, you want to stay in this particular market, you want to stay in this community because that's where your validation comes from, which is highly dangerous because you don't realize that when you step out of your phone and you walk on the road, you walk into real life, that it's a total different world.
Right.
Right. And it's so fickle. I remember specifically a friend of mine who lost his social media account. He was devastated. And I'm like thinking, if this is my life, and especially with how, you know, prone we are to hackers, you know, being victimized by hackers. I mean, I can't live my life on something that's so fickle. I thought to myself, I can't live my life on something that can go away, with the crash of, you know, the internet.
Right.
I can't live my life validating myself on something that is almost not real. People who don't really love me would like my picture, you know, so that's where I realized that it's so important to really slow down, to get out of ourselves and just live life based on real values, right?